This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
All I want to tell you, I want to give you a bit of a precursor, a bit of a warning, that if you're not okay with God coming in and radically changing your life, you might want to exit the building now. Because I'm telling you, the first service was absolutely swirly, to use a man of God's word. I was just in a conference, and he got up there, he goes, bro, it's swirly up in here. He's like, y'all should have warned me. It's like Swirlville up in here. And I just, in other words, man, when you get in the wind and in the move of God, God can just change things in a matter of a moment. And I believe that God has given me fresh revelation from heaven for you. But we're just going to let God be God in here. Amen. And I mean, you didn't come to encounter me. You came to encounter him. Amen. And so I really do believe that there's some fresh things that God wants me to share. And so I'm going to ask you to just believe with me and be in faith. Have the switch of faith turned on and expectation. Whatever it is you need, God's here. Whatever it is you have need of, God is in the building. Somebody say amen. Amen. Bible says, if two of you agree on earth about anything they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. And he says, if two of you are gathered together in my name, I am there. I am there. And so he is here and he is ready to minister to you as we minister to him. Amen. And, you know, we shouldn't just come to church expecting to receive. We should come to church with something to give. And we give him our faith. We give him our adoration. We give him our worship. We give of our finances because he's been so good to us. And when you find a place where heaven's wanting to give and earth is wanting to give, that's called heaven on earth. And man, it would suit me just right if it began to feel more like heaven in here than it did earth. And come on, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I just believe that we were created for heaven. We were created for heaven to live inside of us. That's why the Bible says, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? And your body and your spirit are not your own, but you were bought with a price. You know you were bought with a price. So that God could come and take up residence inside of you. And so heaven lives inside of you. We were made for the atmosphere of heaven. Well, we were not made for the atmosphere of hell. We were not made for the atmosphere of sin and sickness and disease and all the things that this world has to offer. We were made for the atmosphere of heaven. And I believe that there's almost something in us that will rebel against atmospheres that are not heaven. I believe that even bodies are responding negatively, come on somebody, to atmospheres that are not filled with God and filled with heaven. But the Bible shows us that we can walk in days of heaven on the earth. Come on church, are you with me? And so I just want to kind of condition us that when we come here together, when we go home, that we carry heaven and we should expect the atmosphere of heaven to begin to fill this place. How many of you know in heaven there's no tears? Come on, somebody. In heaven there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no dying, there's no crying, there's no despair. And God says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when you begin to hang out in the atmosphere of heaven, you begin to realize, I don't want to really be anywhere else. I can carry heaven with me into my job, into all those heathens. Come on, somebody. I can carry my job into my home, and Lord knows they need prayer. Come on, you know, but whatever it is you need, I want you to know that heaven and the atmosphere of Jesus can come in and begin to switch that atmosphere and switch that situation around. I want to condition us to begin to believe that we're going to experience Jesus. We're going to experience the person of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, and he brings heaven with him, and he lives inside of us. Somebody say amen. That being said, I started a series a few weeks back, and I'm gonna ask you to take your church glasses off because we're not in church; we're in His presence. And so I started a series a couple of weeks ago entitled "Marked." Someone say "Marked." And I can't even begin to really describe what happened in the first service, but it was powerful, and it was Jesus. And so let's just see what God has for this service. I don't know about you, but man, I was so messed up during worship. I really didn't know how I was going to get up here and go into this. Even as I'm saying that, I am being affected by the presence of God in here already, which is as it should be. We were made to respond to Him. Hallelujah. And we respond differently to Him than we do church. I believe the reason why people come to church and aren't changed is because they come to church and encounter church. But when you come to church and encounter Him, you are changed. And woo! And so this morning, let's get out of a church mindset and let's get into a Him mindset. And then your response will be different, because I'm not responding to a preacher trick. I'm responding to Jesus. And that is when, as we said, heaven collides with earth. That's what I sense in here, is that heaven wants to collide with earth. Heaven wants to collide with whatever it is that's been messing with you and absolutely crush. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Jesus took His foot and crushed the head of the serpent, or the devil. And the devil bruised the heel of Jesus in the crucifixion, but Jesus crushed His head. I sense a collision from heaven coming in to crush the enemies that have been messing with you. And the devil wants you to think that he has crushed you, that he has crushed your life, that he has crushed your future. But I'm here to tell you, the devil is a liar. He ain't done nothing but bruise your heel. And I'm here to tell you that God's about to come in and crush his head. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. That's all he has, is lies, deception. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We were meant to carry measures of him that the world doesn't know what to do with. Hallelujah. I know this is a little different than what I normally do, but let's just walk it. Let's just flow in these waters for a second here. Listen, man, people aren't used to heaven, so when it shows up, they respond. They respond because we live in a world that is fallen. When Adam and Eve fell, this world is fallen. So even all the beauty that you see, that's Hawaii in its fallen state. Imagine what it was like before the fall. And so heaven is, I believe, wanting to invade. Glory to God. Heaven is wanting to invade whatever it is that's going on in our lives. So let's just kind of get into the word and kind of flow. But I'm going to ask you to just flow with me and just have our eyes on Jesus, have our eyes on the Holy Spirit, because I'm telling you, God is doing something. Amen? Amen. John chapter 5. It says this, John chapter 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, which means house of mercy, having five porches. In these five porches lay a great multitude, this is thousands of people, hundreds to thousands of people, of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, addicted, frustrated, angry, shameful, condemned, tired, ready to give up. People laid at the pool. What'd they do? Waiting for the moving of the water. Waiting for the moving of the water. And this is where the church finds itself much of the time, is that we're just waiting for a move. We're waiting for a move of God, waiting for the waters to be stirred. But the good news is that we don't need a pool, because Jesus became the pool that's always stirred. The pool is always stirred, and Jesus is now our pool. We don't have to wait by the pool. We can get in, and we can live in the pool. And so now for an angel of the Lord went down at a certain time into the pool to stir up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, someone shout first. After the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease that he or she had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. Now infirmity means impotent. What does impotent mean? It means lacking power. Lacking strength weakness. Okay, this is what infirmity means. Sickness that would bring weakness and lack of strength. My God. And impotency to the man's life. 38 years he was there. When Jesus saw him lying there, notice Jesus saw him lying there, that he had already been in that condition. That'll be an important word. Someone say condition. A long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" This sounds somewhat obvious, Jesus. I've been in this jacked up condition for 38 years, and you show up and ask me if I'd like to be made well. Isn't it obvious? It seems almost insensitive of Jesus to ask such an asinine question to the natural mind. But how many of you know it wasn't an asinine question if Jesus asked it? There's a reason why he asked, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man." He didn't even say, "I want to be made well." He just said, "I have no man. I have no man to put me in the water." And I love this. Sick man, "I have no man to put me in the water. And when it is stirred up, and while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise." Someone say, "Rise." "Rise. Take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and he walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Now, I love this. Jesus again asked, "Do you want to be made well?" And do you want to change? Do you want to get? Do you want things to be different for you? And I kind of begin to see this. It's kind of peculiar as a pastor now. Been at this for about 15 years. It's kind of amazing to me that how so many people will come to church and get in the presence of God, and they'll come frequently to church, but they have absolutely no desire and absolutely no intention to change anything about their life based upon what they experience in the presence of God. Like even today, did we come with an idea that we could change today and things could be better tomorrow? Because if you ask that question honestly to yourself, many of us come because it's what we do. We want to feel better about life and better about what's going on. But to change is difficult and can be painful, but we find ourselves there. You know, this idea of people coming into the presence of God and coming, I've been there. I think we've all been there. Somebody say amen. This idea of coming into the presence of God and not being necessarily willing to change in the moment, it reminds me of the guy at the gym. And if you spend any time at all in the gym, you know the guy that I'm talking about. Let's call the guy's name Bruno. Bruno is there every day before you get there, and he is there after you leave. He's there for hours, yet you really don't see Bruno work out very hard. And he definitely doesn't have the physique that is indicative of someone who spends hours at the gym every day. But Bruno doesn't come to lift. He comes to talk to other people. He comes to talk to other people while they work out. He comes to talk to people while they're on the treadmill. Maybe it makes him feel better that they're changing. And at least he can talk to somebody who's changing, even though he's not willing to change himself. Bruno goes and does these kind of odd stretches. Come on, somebody. You know the guy. Odd stretches and odd movements, and then you find Bruno over at the aerobic center trying to check out the ladies. Bruno is a creeper, you know what I'm saying? Bruno doesn't come to change. He doesn't come to lift. He's not worried about making gains. He's not hashtag on his grind. Come on, somebody. He's just there because it's something to do. How about the dental hygienist tells you, you need to floss. And yet, we all go to the dentist and smile and say, yeah, you know, I should. But there's something inside of you that there's a resolution. I will not floss. It's an extra step that I don't have time for in the morning. Come on, somebody. Or whatever. And if we're not careful, church, this is exactly how people come to church. No matter what the preacher says, no matter what God is doing, there is this thing, I will not change. Because change is painful. Change is hard. But, and here's the other thing, there are some things in my life I'd like to see change. But I'm not willing to change myself. Is anybody following what I'm saying? I have found out that most of us like the idea of God changing situations in our life much more than we like the idea of God changing us. And God says this morning, He's here to help change us. At the Pool of Bethesda, there was a great multitude of blind, lame, paralyzed people. And let's not kid ourselves. They had these conditions that kept them by the pool. And they were blind, they were lame, they were paralyzed, they were there. But let's not kid ourselves, because everybody on your row has some kind of condition that God needs to touch. We're just good at hiding it, and we don't have to go to a pool and lay out there. Come on, somebody. But there are conditions that God needs to touch right now inside of you and in your life. If you believe it, somebody say amen. Amen. In fact, if I were to ask you, what do you need God to change in your life? Most of the common answers would be, God, change my financial situation. Somebody said, preach it, Pastor. Hallelujah. God, another answer would be, God, change my family situation. It's all jacked up. God, change my relationship status. Hashtag it's complicated. Come on, somebody. God, change my career situation. God, change my wife. Change my family. Change my husband. Hashtag Jesus take the wheel. Come on, somebody. But you know what would be noticeably absent from the list? God, I'm selfish. Change me. God, I'm unreliable. Change me. God, I'm frustrated and I'm mad and I'm not fun to be around. Change. But here's the news, church. When we finally come to the place where we say, I'm the one that needs to change, that's where the miracle begins. God, the new home would be nice. The marriage fix would be nice. The situation turning around in my favor, that would be nice. But God, first, fix me. Come on, somebody. I need you to deliver me from me. Is anybody in the building? God, you're the potter and I'm the clay. I need you, your hands on me. I need to be in your presence. I need you to change me. This is where miracles begin, when we can identify that as we're willing to change, miracles begin to happen. Now, I love this. I kind of want to get to where we're going, but let me just kind of pull a few things out here before we do that. Notice Jesus said, do you want to be made well? He didn't say, do you want to feel better? How many of you know there's a difference between feeling better and being made well? You know, we can come to church and feel better and never be made well. We can come to church to be comforted and not change. God says, I'm not into you being comforted only. I want to change you so that you can live and walk in my presence. It's been 38 years and it's never going to change. But how many of you know when Jesus shows up in a situation, what has been impossible and has taken a long time to change, all of a sudden can become possible? Because with man things are impossible, but with God all things are possible. Wow. I love this, that the man at the pool said, I have no man to put me in. And he gave Jesus an excuse, and Jesus stepped over his excuse and gave him a command. Write this down. The miracle begins when the excuses end. Come on, church. The miracle begins where the excuses end. How many of you know we all have an excuse why we're not further, higher, better, moving forward in our relationship with God, there's always an excuse. And Jesus said, take your attention off of people. I have no man. Let me talk about a couple of hindrances right before I get into, because really what I want to talk about is the encounter. Someone say encounter. I want to talk about the encounter and flow into him, flow into that presence. But this man had an encounter, and after the encounter with Jesus, everything began to shift in his life. We're going to unpack some of that by the help of the Holy Spirit. But let me talk about some hindrances that this man faced. Hindrances that this man faced was, first of all, he had lack of opportunity. Only at a certain time, ever so often, an angel would come down. Come on, church. Thousands of people there, and there's only one opportunity. The first one that gets in is the one that's healed. How many of you know that's not a lot of opportunity? And some of you feel like life is the way that it is because you've had lack of opportunity. Right? The family, the way you were raised, your schooling, your education, the financial, you know, deck of cards that you were had. I've had lack of opportunity. If I had more opportunity, Pastor, I could be better. I could be further. I would be better emotionally. I could be more stable. Come on, somebody. I could be better if I had more opportunity. So he had lack of opportunity. And then the second hindrance that he faced from experiencing his miracle was, number two, he had lack of support when the opportunity came. I have no man to put me in the pool. So if you've ever felt that way, that you've had lack of opportunity or lack of help when the opportunity shows up, and I think we've all felt that way at times. If this would have been different in my life, I could have been further. I could have seen the breakthrough. I could have seen God show up. I could see God do something in my life. But because I didn't have opportunity and I didn't have support when the opportunity came, now the devil says, just lay there by the pool. Lay there by the pool. And Jesus showed up and said, now, forget what's happened in the past. Even though you haven't had much opportunity, even though you haven't had much support, I'm here now. Come on, how many of you know when Jesus shows up in the situation, everything changes? All right, and so now I want to begin to talk about this. This man encountered God, encountered Jesus, and everything began to shift. Encounters with God, they are different than religious encounters. They are different than religious ritual. Encounters with God change you at a core level to where things that you were desiring before, now you no longer desire. Listen to me. Encounters with God can awaken things that need to be awakened in you, and they can also kill the things that need to be killed in you. You know, an encounter with God can kill some things in you that medication can't kill. Encounters with the presence of God can kill things in you that therapy can't kill. Come on, somebody. And so this man had an encounter with God. And I love this wow. Notice they were waiting for the angel to come down. Notice that every so often the angel came down. Someone say down. To stir the waters. And so the angel came down. They were waiting on God to come down and do something in their life. And many times as a church, we're praying that God will come down and touch our marriage. God, come down and touch my finances. God, come down and touch this church. God, come down and touch this city. God, we need you to come down. And Jesus shows up to the man who's waiting on heaven to come down. And he says, maybe it's not time just for heaven to come down. Maybe it's time for you to get up. I wonder if I'm talking to anybody in the building that says, devil, you threw a bunch of stuff at me, but I'm not going to stay down anymore. I'm going to get up out of depression. I'm going to get up out of addiction. I'm going to get up out of discouragement. I'm going to rise up. And as I rise up, I'm going to see God. I'm going to see encounters with his presence. I'm going to see breakthrough. I'm going to see miracles. Is anybody ready to rise up? The devil is, I'm telling you, the devil is terrified of the church rising up. God began to talk to me about this encounter with God. And I let's just kind of flow into this now, that encountering Jesus is what empowered this man to rise up. Encountering Jesus is what empowered this man to rise up. Someone say rise. So now, rise, take up, I love this, rise, take up your bed. Here's what God said to me about this. He said, Jesus said, rise, take up your bed, and walk after this encounter with his presence. Here's what God said about take up your bed. I said, God, why did you say take up your bed? He said, because I don't want you to leave a place to go back to. Wherever you've been in your relationship with God, wherever you've been distracted, wherever you've been discouraged, haven't been praying the way you know you want to pray, haven't been desiring God the way you know you want to desire him, haven't been worshiping God the way you know you want to worship him, haven't been experiencing his presence anymore, there's hardness on your heart, you come to church hoping for a breakthrough, but it just doesn't seem the same anymore, God says, now listen, this time you're going to rise up, but when you rise up, you're going to take up your bed this time. You're not going to leave a place to go back to. Celebration, I'm telling you, we're not going back to where we've been. We're moving. I wonder if there's any faith in the room that says, I'm not going back to unbelief. I'm not going back to fear. I'm not going back to torment. I'm moving forward into what God has for me. We are not going back. Come on, if you believe it, give Jesus a shout of praise in here. Woo! Now, here's what else he said to me about it. He said, don't leave a place to go back to. Wow! This is what the children of Israel did. They got delivered from Egypt, and then they're headed to the promised land. And they start looking back at what was torment and what was bondage and go, but we had melons. Just like some of us, God's trying to lead you into more promise and lead you into more of his presence and lead you into more of his glory. And you start looking back and say, I used to get to go to the club. I used to get to drink the Ford. I used to get to smoke. Or I used to get to have sex with whoever I wanted to. Or I used to get to cuss at people. Or I used to get to be down. And now I got to be full of faith. And now I got to love Jesus and be in his presence. You really look back and listen. But the devil, when he causes you to look back, he causes you to forget the torment. He causes you to forget the change. And that's why Jesus said, no, not this time. I said, woo! I said, not this time. I'm not going back to the addiction. I'm not going back to the bondage. I'm not going back to my bed. I'm not going to lay down and take it. I'm not going to take it from depression. I'm not going to take it from addiction. This time, devil, I'm going to rise up and flow into the presence of Jesus. Woo! Here's what else God said to me about that. He said, don't leave a place to go back to. And here's what he said. He said, don't allow the thing that made your dysfunction comfortable to remain. Don't allow the thing that made your dysfunction comfortable to remain in your life. Dismantle that thing that you used to lay down that would make your dysfunction comfortable. Get rid of it. I don't know what it is in your life, but I know God's talking to me. Don't watch that anymore. Don't go there in your mind. I don't even want you going in that environment anymore. I need you to stop this. And you go, Jason, is that legalism? No, it's glorious. Because every time I say no to that and yes to him, I walk into a greater level of God's presence. Woo! All right. Someone say encounter. Yeah, encounter. He encountered the presence of God. Someone say rise. Rise and walk. Here's what God said when I read that word rise. Here's what God said. He said, raise your faith, raise your praise, raise your giving, raise your serving, raise your seeking. If you will make the decision to raise what God has given you to raise, you're going to see the supernatural show up in your life. Here's what God is saying. Choose to go higher. Church, choose to go higher. I know it's easier to kind of stay and kind of float and I'm kind of where I used to be, but not quite. And we've all been there. We've all been at that, you know, kind of comfortable place. And then the comfort turns into misery. The only time we're fully alive is when we are pressing into him like nothing else. Whoo! You got to choose to go higher in your relationship with Jesus. And as you do, here's what God said. You will see the supernatural. Here's what God said. If you choose to go higher, your life will go higher. A lot of us are trying to work and make our life go higher, effort and energy and focus and work and work ethic. And I'm trying to make my life, trying to make my marriage, trying to make my family. You can't do it. But you can choose to go higher in him, and he'll bring every level of your life up. Hallelujah. Every time in my life when I have put him first, someone say first. The Bible said that whoever stepped in first was made well. Isn't that right? Okay? Whoever stepped in first was made well of whatever condition that they had. And when I read that, God said, you need to make sure that you realize that I still want to be first in your life. Now, I know that's not popular. I know that's not, you know, as, you know, we talk about putting God first. I don't know if that'd get as many downloads, right? But what I do know is that it's still top on God's priority list. The Bible says, seek ye first. God wants to be first. And church, listen, as a pastor, it's so easy to get distracted. As someone who's coming to church and a part of God's family, it's so easy to get distracted and put family first and finances first and work first. And come on, somebody. And issues first. I got to fix this issue. Then I can come to Jesus. No, come on, somebody. I ain't got time for all that Jesus. I ain't got time for all that praise. I ain't got time. I got issues. Someone say, it's you. No, don't say. Right? But it's important to God because God knows when he's first, everything in your life will be in order. When he's not first, your life is in chaos. Come on, this is good. And I think that there's a richness to this, and I think God is stirring some embers. Come on, somebody. God is stirring some embers in some of you that said that I am hungry for this, and it's been difficult for me to get back to that place, but I want to get back to the place where I know that I'm putting him first. You know, God has been putting this thought back into me. He said, yeah, Jason, I get it. Because God, listen, this is big with God. This is big. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added. Have the things kept you from putting him first? I don't even need you to answer. Because we've all been there, church. Come on, somebody. And God, don't get quiet on me when I start talking about first stuff, because I'll preach another hour. Third service can just come join us. Is anybody excited to put Jesus first? I don't know about y'all, but I want him first in my marriage. I want him first in my house. I want him first in my finances. I want him first in my mind, because when he's first, there's a great peace and a great calm all over me. Listen, when you put him first, you're moving higher. My God. I just broke it down. The Holy Spirit just broke down this whole message. If you want to go higher, just put him first. God, the law of opposites said that when I put him second, third, or fourth, my life goes lower. Stuff gets subtracted from me when I start putting God second, third, and fourth. But when I start putting God first, stuff gets added to me. Oh, God. I hear the Lord say, get ready, because when you put me first, I'm going to add favor to you. I'm going to add anointing to you. I'm going to add breakthrough to you. Get ready. Miracles are chasing those who are chasing me. Hallelujah. Now listen. This was our message. This was our life message for about 4 or 5 years, and it's easy to begin to come away from that. And I don't want to get back into the legalism, but I do want to get back into the grace of putting him first. Listen, man, when he's first, my communion with him is sweeter than anything else on the planet. Family, when you put him first, your communion with God will be more intimate and more fulfilling than anything this planet has to offer. You can go spend time with him in the middle of a family crisis or financial crisis or whatever's going on, and you come out with his peace. You come out in the middle of the storm and say, I know the one who said, peace be still. I spoke to him this morning. This storm will pass. There is nothing to worry about, because as I'm putting him first, he's taking me higher. I just heard God say, quit living underneath the storm. It's time to rise up above the storm. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up on wings like eagles, shall run and... My God. I want to give y'all back there a chance to shout. You shout. Come on, somebody. From the back to the front. Don't go to sleep. I'll throw a mic. No, I'm just playing. Come on. No, man. Listen, man. I feel a flow in here. I said, I feel a flow in here. White boy feeling his flow. Come on, somebody. Listen, man, the Lord is here. The Lord is in this place. He's speaking to us. When he's first, you want to go higher? Put him first. Put him first. Here's what God said to me. He said, you know, we always talk about family, God first, but then family. You know, God first, but then family. And we use that as an excuse to continue to live a life of sacrifice. What if it's God first and then our family puts God first? Y'all ain't saying nothing. That's why some of y'all don't show up the first Wednesday, because you ain't putting God first. You putting the way I feel first. I already had a tough week, Jesus. Hashtag, let me rest. Hashtag, give me another burrito. You know what I'm saying? You know, listen, man. Listen. Listen, when pastor calls prayer like he is today for tonight, talk about, well, I only got one night with my wife or my family. I get that. I'm not saying you got to come to everyone, but you should fight to come to some. Because a church that doesn't pray is a church that doesn't raise the dead. A church that doesn't spend time in his presence is a church that will spend time in the presence of fear, lack, and insecurity. But a church that spends time with him, he drowns out whatever's trying to drown you. This is cool because I am a living witness that when I do seek him this way, that he starts doing stuff in us and through us and around us that these hands could never produce. But when I don't seek him first, every insecurity, every bit of incompetency shows up. Those of you that know what I'm talking about know what I'm talking about. That, like, you know what I mean? You were golden when you were seeking God. You were like in the Word, seeking God, listening to podcasts. You're growing in your relationship with God, and stuff's just working. Come on, somebody. I'm not saying that everything's perfect, because I mean, hell still comes, but it boom just bounces off. Right? It might try to come stay for a day or for a week and try to fight you in a month or whatever, but it just bounces off. Come on, somebody. You're able to resist. You're able to overcome. This is the faith that overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even my faith. And you begin to overcome stuff. And when you stop seeing, you think, I'm good. I'm good. I went to church. And God says, going to church does not equate to you seeking me first. Going to church is not even a bare minimum. It's an indictment. If y'all like me when I'm your cheerleader and be like, the breakthrough is coming. And I'm here to tell you, the breakthrough is coming when we decide to put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So see, we talked about change. Oh, yeah, that's so good. That's so good. Oh, yeah, don't just change my situation. God changed me. That's so good. It's so, like, insightful and everything. I feel enriched. And then we talk about how you can change by putting God first and come to a prayer meeting or come to First Wednesday or start serving on the dream team. And then we go, whoa. I mean, it was like, it was good in thought and theory, but I'm. And all the while, your life just keeps going down. And down. Again, when you put God first, doesn't mean there won't be issues. Doesn't mean there won't be attack. But it means you're empowered to overcome every attack. Come on. Either way, hell tries to come. The storm comes to the life who's built on the word and the one who's not built on the word. I'd rather be built on the rock so I don't slide down. Come on, somebody. Someone say first. When we put him first, we position ourselves for fresh encounters. Effort is needed to encounter him. He wants to be chased. That's why when we come into church, it's kind of like, well, you know, the music's good, the anointing's here. But you know, it's just not, I don't quite feel. When did we stop pursuing him? When did he stop being worthy of my pursuit?
Woo! When did he stop being the Alpha and the Omega?
The one for whom when he shows up, mountains melt like wax. The one who when they said, who are you? He's just starting to show up as good. Jesus? God. You better watch out. You might get drunk up in here. No, I came to church. I came to church, Pastor, to be enriched. Or you could get drunk and get enriched. Like, what do you mean get drunk? What is that? That's so weird. It's not weird, man. You got drunk every day. Some of y'all got drunk every weekend, and you were like, you know, you were a functioning addict. Others of you, it bled over from the weekend into every day. Because you got, when I'm under the control of this substance, I don't have to feel life. Come on, man. And what if we could get so intoxicated by God's love and by his presence that the issues of life don't have the same effect, and I don't feel that the way I used to. It don't have the same pull on me it used to have. Someone say first. I love this, man. He begins to come in. And the more you get around him, you can build up a bit of a tolerance. I don't really want a tolerance. I want to be able to stand. You know, when you get in God's presence, he'll start doing stuff you don't even know he's doing. Wouldn't surprise me at all. I just heard the Lord say, angels are ministering right now. Listen, the man at the pool of Bethesda, they were waiting on angels. Waiting on an angel to come down. Angels carry stuff from him. And I don't know what, but I do know that some of you in the days and weeks to come are going to go, whatever that thing was, it's not there anymore. And it's because angels brought from heaven. Someone say first.
First.
Yeah, his presence. He is jealous for the affection of his people. He is jealous for the affection of his people because he, now see, that sounds selfish, but in reality, it's not at all. Because he knows anytime you put your affection on anything else, it'll jack you up. Okay, now let me say this. Anytime you put the affection that was created and meant for him on other things, it'll always mess your life up. Come on, church. Okay, so then he said, I'm jealous for your affection because when you put your affection on me first, hear me, then you come alive and you come alive to the purpose for which I created you. I want to tell you this. I heard a man of God say this and it has struck me. Our ultimate goal and our ultimate call is to love Jesus well. So before your calling, before your destiny, before your purpose, before God prospering your business and blessing you and favor and blessing the city and blessing the field. How many of you know we believe all that? I said, how many of you know we believe all that? But before any of that, my ultimate call, my highest call is to love Jesus well. Hear me? And the Lord is saying, some of you have traded your secondary call for your ultimate call. All right? Is this all right? Be like, Pastor, yeah? Is that all right? Okay, now, I just want to finish up here. Is this okay? First, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And this is important. That's why the Bible says that God wants the first of your finances. Don't wait till you get to the end and see if you got it. God says, take that right off the top. Because that proves to every devil, that proves to yourself, that proves to heaven, they're trusting God as their provider, not their job. Okay? Now, I know this is a little bit harder. Not harder. I know this is a little bit, you know, kind of like, whoa, he's in my beans. He's in my business. Okay, like, see, like, even right there, y'all would usually laugh, but now you're like, oh, I'm kind of, you know. All right, Someone say first. Okay. Jesus, this is, I believe this is important. God kind of began to show me this. He said, it's so important to me, it's even one of my names. I am the first and the last. And then in the book of Revelation, he said this. He says, you're doing this well, you're doing this well, you're doing this well, but I have this against you. You have left your first. You have left your first love, which is him. Our first love should be him. Because he first loved us, and he paid the price that we could never pay for ourselves. He paid the price on the cross, church. And here's what God said to me. He said, get ready for fresh encounters with Jesus. He said, get ready for fresh encounters with Jesus in unexpected places. And here's what he said, Ramel, last week. Last week, as I was studying and preparing, spending time in the presence of God, he said, get ready for unprecedented encounters with Jesus. And then you said that to me last night. A week ago, I wrote it down. Get ready. Now, guys, I'm not just talking. You can receive this and believe for it or not. But I want to tell you, if you have forgotten how good encountering his love and his presence is, come on, church, he's here right now. You know, it's amazing about the presence of God. You can get there and you can cry because he's good. You can laugh because he's good. Come on. You get in the presence of God, you don't know whether to rejoice, fall on your face, say, holy is the Lord, laugh. Woo! He's here. When he walks in the room, everything changes. And this is what he said to me. He said, the fresh encounter should induce hunger for the never-ending encounter. I want to live in a never-ending encounter. I want to live in your presence, Lord. I want to be with you, to walk with you, oh, to worship you, to magnify you.
Oh, Jesus.
Sweeter than the honey that touched my lips. There's an encounter available right now. There's an encounter available right now. You can encounter him in your chair. You can stand. You can pray. But just for these next moment, couple of moments, I just want you to open yourself up to Jesus. Open yourself up to his word and to his Holy Spirit. Begin to encounter his presence. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. We love Jesus, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord, yes. Jesus. Jesus, yeah. Oh,
magnify you. Oh, we magnify you. Let the song of the King rise. Let the song of the King rise. Let it rise. Let the song of the King rise. Let the song of the King rise. Let the song of the King rise. Let it rise. Let the song of the King rise. Jesus. Let it rise right now, yeah. Oh, let the song, let the song of the King rise.
Song of the King rise. Let the song of the King rise.
Just voices. Let the song of the King rise. Come on, church. Let the song of the King rise. Let the song of the King rise. Let it rise. Let it rise. Let the song of the King rise. Yeah. Let the song of the King rise. Let the song of the King rise. Let it rise. Come on, every voice, let's lift it to Him. Let the song of the King. Yeah. Let the song of the King rise, let the song, oh yeah, let the song of the King rise, let the song of the King rise, let the song of the King rise, let it rise, let it rise right now. Oh, come on, just lift your voice to Jesus, lift your voice to Him, yeah. Lift your voice to Jesus. Love you, Lord. That's it, church. That's it, church. Begin to lift that sound. Begin to lift that sound to Him, yeah. Oh, oh. Jesus, we thank you for your presence. Jesus, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I hear the Lord say, tears of sorrow will be replaced with tears of joy. Tears of joy, yes. Tears of sorrow will be replaced. Tears of joy, tears of joy. Get ready to laugh again. Yeah. Get ready to laugh again. Come on. Get ready to laugh again. Oh, get ready to smile again. Oh. I heard the Lord say, some of you have had to paste the smile on your face. God says, I'm going to replace the pasted smile with a genuine smile, because I'm still the God who turns mourning into dancing. Though sorrow lasts for the night,
joy. Church, I said those sorrow lasts for the night. Joy comes in the morning. Somebody lift a shout of praise. Hey.
Now listen, listen to this. Listen to this. About a week ago, the Lord showed up in my living room. I mean, how many of you know he's everywhere? All the time. He's omnipresent, but then he begins to manifest himself in stronger and stronger ways. And I'm in my living room, and I just, just gets in on me even right now. Just begin to weep in his presence. However it even feels right now. Some of you are saying, man, if it just felt different, I could get in. Sometimes it doesn't even matter how you feel right now. It's that the decree of heaven just showed up. And what is making you feel that way is getting ready to be removed in Jesus' name. Okay, so, Lord, you want me to share that? So I'm in my living room. And the Lord said, he said, I am beginning to remove layers of callousness. I'm beginning to remove layers of callousness from your life and from your heart and even from your ear. Now, if we're honest, how many of you, this is awkward for you? It's okay. Because I heard the Lord say, sometimes when you first get to know somebody in a deeper way, it can be a little awkward. But if you'll just stick with it, it's always worth the pursuit. It's always worth the pursuit. My friend right here, man. It's my friend. It's my friend. He's been a catalyst for change in his life and in this place. God says, I've seen the hours where you have sought me by yourself, and that which was upon David, the heart of David lives inside of you. And it is needful in this hour. So I will use you in private, and it will affect change in public, saith the Lord. For the heart of David gives you access to the key of David. And the key of David opens doors no man can shut. Shoo! In Jesus' name. The Lord said, I'm taking layers of callousness off of your eyes, off of your ears, off of your heart, off of your life. Callousness keeps you from feeling. That's the danger of callous, being calloused. Like right here, that there's calluses, you know, on my palm here, right below my fingers. Because you lift weights or you just work as in whatever it is you do, it just gets callous. It builds up skin. It builds up thickness and hardness. Calluses protect in the right setting. Right? Calluses protect in the right setting. But the devil, Jesus, we are to be calloused to the attacks and the temptations of Satan. Church, we've allowed the enemy to make us callous towards God and sensitive towards him. And God says, today, if you'll let me, I'll reverse that curse. And I'll remove the callousness from your ear, from your heart, from your eyes, from your mouth. And there will be a callousness to the things of the enemy, to where they don't get through the shield of faith to us anymore. Here's what the Lord said. He said, Jason, he said, I'm removing these layers. Someone say layers. Sometimes it doesn't all come off at one time. That's why the fresh encounter should induce a desire for the never-ending encounter. Because every time I'm in his presence, he's removing what life and the devil have tried to put on me. Are you with me? That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is. When you come in heavy, he removes so we can leave light. God in heaven. I know I'm a little late. Listen. Here's what he said. He said, for every layer I take off of callousness, I'm going to replace it with fresh anointing and fresh presence. All right. This is the last thing. Y'all ready for this? Someone's like, I'm ready for lunch. No, come on. Y'all okay? Is this not feel amazing in here, man? Wow. He said, someone say encounter, his presence. Thank you, Jesus. But listen, there's something that I am so eager to share. I mean, there's such a richness to it. It's from him. But I felt like the Lord said, not right now. And I don't know why, but what I do know is that if we'll obey him, it'll just lead to higher levels of him. And higher levels of, listen, man, when you get him, you get everything. I said, when you get him, you get everything. So we have him. Those of you that are saved, you have him. He lives inside of you. But what we're talking about now is walking in greater measures of his manifest presence and goodness and love upon your life. And so, again, I want to share it. He let me share it in the first service. I don't know if he'll let me share it next service. But I do believe that God is stirring up hunger again, to where we don't have to go to prayer. We don't have to come to church. We don't have to pray at home. But that we want to. Hallelujah. And as we saw God do great things among us in that day, we're going to see God do great things among us in this day. Hallelujah. If you bow your heads and close your eyes, if you're here and you need Jesus, or you don't know him, on the count of three, I just want you to lift your hand and we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. If that's you, lift him up. 1, 2, 3, lift him up. Yes, 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 yes. Anybody else says, yes, that's me. Pray with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, everybody in this place, let's pray this prayer together. Say this. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. Jesus Christ died and was raised for my salvation. I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Lord, and I confess Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. By your grace, with your help, I turn away from my old ways and I turn to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Can we give Jesus some praise?
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.